Yay. Good afternoon, everyone. Please open your bulletins to the front there. We're in Proverbs. Would encourage you, if you have your own Bible or your own app, you could open there. I'll be preaching from my phone, so please forgive me if it seems a little bit awkward. But, okay, things are all here. We're good. Okay. Let me begin with Proverbs 17 through 26. Then please join me at Proverbs 27 through the end there. So let me begin. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on a wound, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. Let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you and hate you. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death, is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, "I am only joking." Let's read together, 27 verse 5. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, will be counted as cursing. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Whoever rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue. A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet.
Alright, we're in Proverbs this year, and last week we looked at the topic of words and communication and speech. Proverbs teaches us that unless we know how to communicate well, if we're not wise with our words, our life will be miserable. We looked at some verses today. Read about a little over a dozen. Actually, we could triple this amount because the Proverbs teach us so much about friendship. The main thing that the Proverbs is teaching us with all of these is that simple. Unless you're good at friendship, you will not live a wise life. And so what we want to look at today is what the Bible and what the Proverbs teach us about wisdom and friendship. But not only that, what the gospel shows us how ultimate friendship really works. So that's our goal today, is not just to look at friendship, but what the gospel shows us about friendship. So. We'll begin. I want to give some things, the distinction or the difference of friendship. That is this. Friendship gives you something no other relationship can give you. The second thing is that the way that you find friendship is, of course, forged. Okay? Friendship is something you develop. However, friendship is something you first have to discover. Friendship is found. Third, friendship is not only found, but it is forged. Friendship is something you grow and develop. And then finally, friendship is something that we derive from God. Friendship first comes from God. Unless you understand that, you're not going to understand what true friendship is. So, we'll first go with the uniqueness or the distinction, the difference of friendship. Look at the first verses there. 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A brother and a friend are put on the same level in that first verse. But look more at the second verse, verse 24 of chapter 18. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So in the first verse, friendship and brotherhood, siblinghood, family, is put on equal level. And yet, on the second verse, friendship, the second verse is saying, look, sometimes friends are better than family. Now, I look at some faces from very traditional, conservative, very family-oriented cultures, and they're looking at me like, sure about that? Friendship is greater than family? That's what it's saying right there. Okay? How is that? Here's the thing. A brother is born for adversity. You know, when you're having trouble, okay, you're going through adversity, your family's gonna be there. They have care for you. They're loyal. They have history with you. But it's not like they want to be there. Sometimes, okay? It's not like, okay, all right. Okay, I'm not pointing fingers here. When our twins were born, okay, my mom says, I'm coming. When my fourth son was born, my mom says, I'm coming. So every time we have kids, my mom says, I'm coming. She's not coming for me. Okay? Right? She's not like, oh, I miss you, Ian. I want to hang out with you. You're my first son. I want to spend time with you. Let's go out. None of that. All right? It's not, right? Your family will be there in times of adversity. But your friends to choose to be there for you in your adversity, that's better. Because they don't have to be there. They choose to be there. So there's something different about that, yes? Alright? Okay. There's something different about that. You see the word sticks in 24? It sticks closer than a brother. The word stick in the Old Testament is sometimes translated as the word cleave. A man will leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife. And that's that same word, stick. That means it's a commitment based on very passionate love. Okay. That's friendship. A commitment out of a passionate love. That's better than a sibling. That's a higher commitment than a family. So a friendship brings something that a family doesn't have. Also, a friendship is something that even work, you know, you have work friends, quote unquote work friends, you have friends at work. Are they really your friends? You have friends online. Right? How many hundreds of friends do you have online? Are they really your friends? Okay, just an illustration here to just give us some contrast. One of the reasons I hate movie adaptations of books is that the movies always mess up the book. The book has such good content. And the movie, in order to make it into a movie to fit into 2 hours, something gets messed up. Okay? Let me give you an example. One of my favorite books, the stories I love, is Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings, the whole point of that story is friendship. Okay? Now, there is a love story in the book. The love story is actually in the appendix of the book. It's at the very end. But in order to make it Hollywood, in order to make it digestible for mass audiences, they put that love story in the middle of the movie. Ruins the movie for me. Ruins the story. Because the book is called The Fellowship of the Rings. It's a book about friendship. The power of friendship. But they have to put the love story in there. Why? Because a very liberal, a very individualistic culture, what do they put first? Romantic love. Romantic relationships. Okay? How many magazine covers do you see? Who's best friends with who? You don't see that. On the magazine's covers, what do you see? You see who's sleeping with who. Right? That's what everybody wants to know, because individualistic liberal societies, they put romantic, passionate love, number one. Or, like some of us who come from traditional conservative cultures, they'll put family relationship as number one, right? That comes first over. Or, here in Japan, where society and community are very important, what we call a socialistic community, a society, work, your relationships at work, your civic or civil relationships come first. You have duties to your society that come before family or romance, okay? So whatever culture you come from, liberal, conservative, societal or communist, societal, friendship is not number one. It's either family, romance, or society. You're not going to be here. You don't exist without romantic relationships. Okay? Right? And you need to be raised through family relationship. Right? And you need social relationships just to be connected, to be able to get a job, to function in the world. But you can't flourish as a human being. There is something there that friendship gives you, that family, romance, and others, and society can't. That's something unique about friendship. It's so important. Is that coming across with this? Yes? All right. Now, we get to our second point. Okay, friendship is different from other relationships. Okay. Now, there's some people who say, I am who I choose to be. Really? Really? When you're young, it's who your family, it's your parents that make you who you are, right? And when you're older, it's your friends that make you who you are, right? So it's different. There's something different. It's your community that shapes you. Okay. So there's also a proverb. It's not in your bulletin. It's not on the screen. It says, fools perish for lack of friendship or for poorly chosen friendship. The family love, relationship, romantic love, they can't give you everything that you need. And there's something so different about friendship that it gives you life. That's why fools perish for lack of friendship or poorly chosen friendship. Okay, we got to keep going. The discovery of friendship, the way you find friendship. Look at 18:24 once more. A man of many companions will ruin. A man of many companions may come to ruin. Okay, so true friendships. A man of many companions. Companions is not friendship. It's acquaintances. It's the friends, quote unquote, on Facebook, on social media. It's your followers on Instagram or Twitter. Okay, I don't know who tweets here. We're not a tweeting generation. That's the kids' generation. Okay. But anyways, okay. But look at 27 verse 9. Oil and perfume make the heart glad. And the sweetness of a friend. See that? The sweetness of a friend. That word sweetness refers to the sweetness of food. It's the delectable sweetness. of food. So this is interesting, because when you think about when these proverbs were written, I can drink sweet coffee. I can make tea sweet. Because now, we can make any food sweet. Art brought some zucchini. We can make zucchini sweet, right? Just put all as much sugar and syrup as you can. It's not gonna taste good. It's just gonna be sweet, okay? But in those times, you didn't make food sweet. You found sweet food. You discovered food to be sweet. That's the only way you could have sweet food, yes? So what this is saying is, friendship, the sweetness of friendship is something you discover. Right? There's a philosopher, Ralph Waldo Emerson. There's a very popular essay he wrote. You can get it online for free. It's just friendship. Here's what he says, Albert Emerson. He says, friendship does not say, do you love me? Friendship asks, do you see the same truth? Do we have something in common? Are you passionate about the same thing I'm passionate about? Okay. There's another great guy. His name is C.S. Lewis. He wrote a book on the four loves. One of them is called Friendship. Philadelphos, excuse me. Okay, here's what he says. When you first make a friend, here's what you say. Huh? You too? I thought I was the only one. You like this too? I do too. You're into that? Really? Did we just become friends? That's what friendship is. You discover that you have something in common. Here's what lovers do. Lovers are face to face. And lovers are always talking about their love. Right? No, you're sweet. No, you're sweet. No, I love you. No, I love you more, right? They're face to face. And they're constantly aware of their affection for one another. Friends never talk about, we're such friends. We're such good. That's just gross. That's weird. Okay? So lovers are face to face. Friends are side by side, and they're looking at the same thing. They're passionate. They have the same affinities, the same proclivities, right? Here's what it is. C.S. Lewis. Emerson. Look, Emerson says, if I ask you, do you see the same truth as me? And you answer, I don't really care. I just want you to be my friend. You got nothing, no friendship there. It's just stupid. Okay? Here's what C.S. Lewis says. He says, people who have nothing can share nothing. Someone who has nowhere to go will have no fellow travelers. Right? Friendship is discovered. You find friendship when you find someone who has the same common proclivities or affinities as you do. All right, that's the sweetness of a friend. Now, you don't just forge a friendship, you find a friendship. But now, I have to say, you can't just discover or find a friendship, you have to forge it. Friendship must be developed, and that's what the rest of the Proverbs are going to teach us. Okay? So, developing a friendship. Here's four things that you need. Alright? For those of you who are taking mental notes. A-E-I-O-U. Easy to remember. Four things. Okay? A-E-I-O. Availability. Okay? E, empathy. I, honesty. O-U, intimacy. Alright? Availability, empathy, honesty, and intimacy. A-E-I-O-E. Trust me, I'm an English teacher. It works, okay? Four things. Alright. Ha ha ha. Okay. Number one, availability, constancy. Okay, look at 17:17 once more. Sorry. I got you there. A friend loves at all times. Friend loves at all times. Look at 25:17. There. All times here. Friend loves at all times. Does that mean you're always with your friend? All the time? Okay. Well, what does 25:17 say? Let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he be sick of you. Right? So it doesn't mean, 17:17 doesn't mean you're with them all the time. That's just codependency, right? That's just like, I'm so lonely, you're so lonely, we have to be each other. That's not friendship, okay? But 18:24, a true friend will not let you go to ruin. Okay? But there is a brother, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Companions may come to him. So there's ruin. 17:17 says adversity. A true friend sees you suffering, sees you going through difficulty, and he's going to be there for you. Let's be honest, okay? Most of the people who know you, know you because you're useful to them. Relationships are transactional in most of the cases. Now, if you don't like what I'm saying, most of the people that you know because they're useful to you. No? Most relationships are transactional. But a friend says, look, whether you're useful to me or not useful to me, it doesn't matter. You are not a means to an end. You are the end. I'm here for you. Because if you are not useful to me, if you're just one of my Facebook friends, and you post, having trouble going through it, maybe you'll type, praying for you. Maybe you'll do the tear thing, right? You're going to get on a plane? No. A real friend is this. A real friend says, I'm going to be there. Even if it costs me something. It will cost me something. But I'm there for you because I cannot let you come to ruin. Your ruin is my ruin. Your adversity is my adversity. That's what that means. All times. I'm born for adversity. Fair weather friends, obviously, is not a friend. Okay. You have to scroll on this thing. So, it's going to cost them more than it benefits them. And so, most people aren't going to get there. Okay, so that's constancy, availability. Okay? Next is empathy, care. We can say care. Constancy and care. Careful. All right. So, look at chapter 25. Chapter 25 says, like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, like vinegar poured on the wound, one who sings songs to a heavy heart. And that song, sing songs, that means happy songs. Okay. So happy songs to a heavy heart. Look at chapter 26. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I'm only joking. What's that picture, friends? What's the picture there? In chapter 25 and chapter 26. Okay. Right? It's a picture of someone who has no idea the emotional landscape of their friend. They're so emotionally, like, cut off, just unaware. Their friend is weeping, but they can be happy. They can sing. Right? Or their friend is in some terrible state, but they'll just say something so off color, just so weird. Like, what are you talking about? I'm sitting here struggling, and you're talking about some movie? Right? And it's like, you're an enemy, is what he's saying. Okay? That means, look, there's friends who have an emotional connection. Here's a contrast, one more contrast. There's a popular saying, I read some stuff on parenting, and there's a popular saying that says, for parents of more than one child, they say, as a parent, you're only as happy as your least happiest child. If you have children, they could all be happy, but because you're their parent, you can't be happier than your least happiest child. If one child is struggling, one child is going through it, you just have a connection, emotional investment to that one child that you can't go over and be above. Okay? Now, here's the thing. Friendship is not like a family who it's automatically sad. Friendship is, I can't be sad. I'm so connected to you. I'm so emotionally invested in you that your pain becomes mine. And there's empathy. There's care that's in that as a friend. If you can't flourish, I can't flourish. If you can't move forward, I can't move forward. I'm so emotionally connected. So there's constancy, okay, availability, there's empathy, care. Okay. But now let's go to the flip side of it. Okay. Look at 27, honesty. 27, verse 5. Better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. There's no fear to speak the truth in this. Please hear me. If you look at 27, there's this contrast. There's like a very vivid picture of contradiction. Okay? Hidden love. Wounding kisses. Friendly wounds, right? Kind of contradiction there. That's on purpose. Okay. That's saying that a true friend is not afraid to tell you what you need to hear, even though it will hurt you. Amen, somebody. Okay. A wound from a friend. Have you ever recorded your voice, right, and listened to the playback, and you think, I don't sound like that, right? So who is that person? No, you do sound like that. The problem is, the way you listen to your voice, you can't know yourself unless you hear yourself from the outside. That's what a true friend does. A true friend is the recording that tells you something about yourself you can't know about yourself otherwise. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, look at 29, verse 5. Now, here's the opposite end of it. A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet.
Woo!
All right. That's an enemy. Spreading a net for the person's feet. That's saying, you know what? If you can't tell your friend what he needs to hear, if you can't be honest with your friend, you are an enemy of his soul. Okay? I want to tell you something about Hebrew poetry. Now let's go back up to 27, 5 and 6. I'm so sorry about that. Okay, so sorry. 27, 5 and 6. Okay. See that hidden love right there? Hidden love means I'm going to keep what you need to hear a secret. What he's saying is, okay, I can't tell you what you need to hear because I love you. I don't want to see you being hurt, right? I'm not going to tell you the truth because I love you. No, what he's saying is, I love myself too much to tell you the truth. That's what he's saying. Now, here's the parallel. 27.5 and 27.6, they go together. They're a match. And they're parallel. So if you look, okay, hidden love. What is hidden love the equal to? What's the parallel of hidden love? It's the last part of verse 6. The last part of verse 6 is the kisses of an enemy. Hidden love. Not telling your friend what they need to hear is what an enemy does. You're an enemy of their soul. Let's just take a minute back to step back. I just told you about honesty, and then before that I just told you about empathy. You see the tension on one side? On one side of the rope, we have to be able to be honest and tell people what they need to hear, and that brings pain to them. But if we're a true friend, that also brings pain to us because we're empathetic, because we care. So there's a tension. Have you ever had to tell somebody what they needed to hear, but you were so afraid, you were shaking. You were willing to risk it. That's a test of a friend. And you're not happy to tell them. You're grieved to tell them. You're worried, you're anxious, you're like, I don't know if this is going to go well, but because of you, not because of me, because of you, we need to talk about it. Repentance there. Finally, right, we've got to go to the last one, okay? A-E-I-O-U. Available, empathetic, honest, and then last one, intimacy. Intimacy, okay? All right, intimacy. Let's go to 27 verse 9. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. So there's counsel. The word earnest means secrets, okay? And counsel means openness. Okay. So it's open with their secrets is what that's saying. A few weeks ago, I got a call at 3 o'clock in the morning. A friend of mine who lives overseas, just bzz, 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 my phone ringing. I'm in bed with my babies. And if it wasn't that one friend, I would have just cut it off. But because it was that one friend, I thought, I should answer this. So I answer it, and man, it's like, I'm half awake, but you know, he's telling me things he's never told me before, things even his wife didn't know about him, things that was going on in his heart. And at the same time, he's telling me about my life. He's telling me, Chris, this is how it should be. This is a word from God. He's telling me, this is how, if you don't change, if you don't repent, it's not going to go. And I'm like, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. What are we doing here? You know? And I'm thinking on this thing, this conversation. It was a literal wake-up call. Literally woke me up. You know how different that is from, that's a unique thing. It's a special thing. Here's what it is. For those of you who go to therapy, and it's a good thing. Therapy, you're opening up, you're giving your heart, okay? But it's weird if your therapist or your counselor or your pastor starts sharing his burdens. Starts sharing his heart, and then, you know, he's like, and he has, you know, that doesn't happen, right? But in a friendship, you're both opening to each other something that you can't be. It's earnest counsel. It's openness, and it's openness with the sea. It's transparency. That's the word I'm looking for. And that's a gift, going back and forth. Being able to do that, I'm telling you. If you have that friendship, and if you can be that kind of friend, whoo! Now, there's the four, okay? There's the four. Let me make it easier for you. Alright? Let me make it easier for you. There's constancy, there's care, there's candidness, and there's counsel. Alright? But let me make it two. A true, real friend always lets you in and never lets you down. Always lets you in. Transparency. Care. Always lets you in. Always open. Never lets you down. Always there for you. Willing to be honest with you. Right? Now, if we can be a friend, and if we can have friends that's always letting you in and never lets you down, we'll have the friend our hearts need, and we'll become the friend that our friends need. Should I end it there?
Bring it to the cross.
Okay, thank you, Jim. I was going to ask Art, but I don't know if he would answer right. Right? No.
He's just like Alice.
Now, let's be honest. Okay, I was studying this week. Okay, I'm studying this week. Two things came up in my heart that I needed to just be honest with. Let me just be honest with you, okay? Two things as I'm studying this. Friendship, true friendship, sweetness, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'm thinking, God, I need a friend. There's longing in my heart. Because I don't have, I want, you know, I have some of this, but I don't have in this. And here's why we have longing. One of the things, you know, our culture, our lives here in Hiroshima, you know, people, they're here and then they gotta go. They're here a couple years, they got contracts, then they're on to the next one, right? You know how it is for those of you who've been here a while. It's just heartbreak. It's called mobility, or it's just time. Right? You're so busy, you got kids. I mean, Naomi and I had friends a decade ago, right? But the way we talk about it is like, it's a best sekai, betsu no sekai. It was a different world. Right? Our friends from a decade ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, it was completely different. Because time, we get married, we have kids, family, and then, you know, it's people move. And so there's a longing for those friends who are constantly there, who are always there, but it's like, it's just reality, okay? All right? Second thing in my heart was, okay, I'm longing for these friends. I'm longing for somebody like this. But at the same time, I'm like, the reason I don't have these friends is because I'm not one of these friends. I'm not being the friend I should be. And I wasn't saying amen most of this. I was saying ouch, right? Because it's like, well, God, I'm failing at this, failing at that. Can't do this right. I'm not there. You know? So, what's the answer? Right? Where do we go? All right? Well, you know where I'm going at this. John chapter 14, 15, and 16. Just read those three chapters and we're good to go. Now, you're not going to do that, so let me just give it to you real quick, okay? All right? Okay. John chapter 15. Jesus is having his last meal, okay? And he's talking to his disciples. He's about to go to the cross. It's the night before. And in John chapter 15, here's what he says. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You are my friends if you do what I command. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend. Okay. When Jesus says this, when Jesus calls his disciples his friends, you know what he's saying? He's giving us the secret to the history of humanity. Okay. He's giving us the secret to the world. Here's what he's saying. God is a friendship. The Christian God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Perfect love going out. Perfect love coming in. Perfect relationship. Okay? You see that? We are made in the image of the triune God. We are made for friendship. Okay? Look, go back to chapter 3. Just go with me. Genesis chapter 3. It says that God would walk in the garden in the coolness of the evening with Adam and Eve. You know what walking is? In the Hebrew language, and I don't know, maybe in the Middle Eastern language, walking is a metaphor in Hebrew for what? Friendship. Friends are side by side, walking together. And God is walking with humanity. Adam and Eve could say, I am a friend of God. They called me friend. But you know what we did? Genesis chapter 3? We betrayed our God. We rebelled. We went our own way. We said, sayonara to God. And what happens to us usually when our friend betrays us? Bye. Or vice versa. We mess up. We drop the ball. We did something wrong. It's kind of over. Right? But when Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. Jesus is saying what? I am the ultimate friend. I am the ultimate friend. I am the friend who will always let you in and will never let you down. I am the, look, Jesus Christ, arms stretched out, nailed open. How much more vulnerable, how much more in can you be? How much more transparent? He says, I will be the friend you are longing for. And I will be the friend that your soul needs. And with that, and I will not only let you in, I will never let you down. What happened? In the next night, the same night in the garden, his friends, his three closest friends, falling asleep on him, failing him three times. His one of his closest friends betrays him with a kiss. Right? But the proverb says what? Blessed are the wounds of a friend. You know Jesus' wounds? Jesus' wounds are blessed. Why? Because he didn't wound us. He took the wounds. Blessed are his wounds because he is the ultimate friend who took what we should have taken. His wounds are our wounds. And so his companionship becomes our... Okay, look. He lost eternal friendship with God so that we can become friends with God. That's the gospel. Now, how do you apply that? You're longing for friendships and you're failing at being a friend. You take the friendship of Jesus Christ and you walk without fear. And you say, look, this is the love that Jesus gave to me. This is the friendship, the commitment, the openness, the transparency he gave to me. Now, maybe somebody's going to let me down, but that's okay. Jesus is constant. Jesus never let me down. I can go. I can go without fear. And you know what? I'm not the best of friends, and I'm not the friend I should be, but because Jesus is the friend that should... Jesus is what the friend I should... I'm trying. I'm doing my best here. Jesus never lets me down through his power, through his grace. Even though I let my friends down, we can still continue in our friendship. So, you go with it. Now, I'm sorry, one more thing. Just one more thing. Okay, it's not just friendship with God, okay? But here's the beautiful thing about church, right? I'm just preaching now. The beautiful thing about church is this. Most of our friendships are with people we have something familiar with. We find friendships. We discover common affinity, common love, okay? Church, we don't have anything in common with each other except the most important thing. So here's the thing. When you have nothing in common with someone except the most important thing in your life, there is so much potential there for you to become something you never could be if all of your friends were like you. If all of your friends dressed the same, spoke the same, thought the same, politically, emotionally, culturally, linguistically. If they're all the same, you can get somewhere. But if your heart of hearts is molded together by something so wonderful, and yet in every other way, you're completely different, the potential for you to become something you never could have been. It's amazing. It's amazing. The friendships we can forge here could be something so beautiful. So this is a treasure. This is a great treasure. Church is something the world needs. Church is something the world needs to witness. The friendships forged, discovered, developed in the church is something that the world, they're hungering for it. They're hungering for it. Now, we're not going to all be, you know, hugging and kissing and, hey, you're my best friend from here and out. I'm just saying. Let's love the Lord Jesus. Let's love God. Let's worship Him. And here's what happens. We become friends that we should be. Okay? And we'll get friends that we ultimately need. And that's all that the Bible's teaching us. Amen? Amen. All right, so let's pray. Father, we thank you for the